Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Please remain upstanding for the prayer and the reconciliation statement. Almighty God, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing upon this council. Direct and prosper its deliberations to the advancement of thy glory and the welfare of the people whom we serve. Amen.
Amen.
Mountain City Council acknowledges the land it now occupies has a history that began with its Indigenous occupants, the Kulin Nation. Council pays its respects to the Kulin Nation people, their elders and descendants past and present. Thank you. May you be seated. Okay. Apologies and leave of absence.
Apologies this evening from Councillor Malik and Councillor Dunn, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Changes to the order of business?
No changes, Madam Mayor.
Deputations?
We have no deputations.
Conflicts of interest? I'll commence. I wish to declare a direct conflict of interest under Section 77B in Items 9.1 and 18.1 of the agenda, in that I am a board member for Jerrawarra Health Services, and as there probably won't be a quorum, I think it will lay over till next month. Thank you.
Madam Mayor, I wish to declare an indirect conflict of interest under Section 78B in Items 9.1 and 18.1 of the agenda as I'm an officer of the Lions Club of Melton.
Thank you, Councillor Turner.
And there's also me, Madam Mayor.
Okay.
I declare a conflict of interest for Item Number 11.15. I have noted the CEO in regards to this conflict.
Thank you, Councillor.
And, Madam Mayor, I wish to declare a direct interest in Officer's Report, Item 18.6, the CEO Review Committee Report.
Thank you. We will now move on to the adoption and confirmation of the minutes of the previous meeting.
Madam Mayor, before someone moves to the minutes, I'd just like to point out a correction that needs to be made in Item 11.1 from the previous minutes in regard to the International Conference on Learning Cities. It was, in fact, recorded, Madam Mayor, that you had voted for the motion when, in fact, you had declared an interest and removed yourself from the chamber. The minutes will be corrected accordingly. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. So, could I have a councillor move the minutes from the 23rd of June 2015.
With that correction.
Madam Mayor, I'll move those minutes with that amendment.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley.
I'll second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. The motion for us has been moved by Councillor Bentley, seconded by Councillor Carley. Does anyone oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Correspondence in Woods? Nil. Petitions and joint letters?
Yes.
Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, I have one petition that I'd like to table with 134 signatures. It's in regards to the application that will be coming, or the proposed monopole that's coming on item 11.9 this evening. I'll just read you part of that, Madam Mayor. It says, ratepayers, we are submitting a petition against a proposal to voice our strong objection in relation to this. Please find attached opposed signatures to this application for the planning permit. Madam Mayor, can I also ask that this be treated as a matter of urgency and that this be dealt with at the same time as item 11.9?
Certainly.
Seconder for that.
Okay. Being a procedural motion, could I get a seconder for that?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Okay, the motion before us has been moved by Councillor Carley, seconded by Councillor Cugliari. Does anyone oppose that motion? All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Thank you. Resumption of debate. We're not, due to lack of quorum, we
Madam Mayor, to the council, as there will be a lack of quorum when this is declared, the matter will lay on the table for another month.
Public question time. Mr. Tory.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We have 9 public questions this evening. First question is from Carolyn McGavin, and it reads, at the most recent meeting of Melton Residents Association, a member requested the following: on the southern side of Palmerston Street between Barry's Road and Henry Street, the speed humps illumination markings have totally faded and cannot be seen at night, even in car headlights. This is becoming dangerous, especially to those who do not know the speed humps are there. Can the illumination painting please be replaced ASAP? And Mr. Luke Shannon will respond.
Thank you, Caroline, for your question. I have already referred your request to our operations team to follow up as a matter of priority. Thank you.
The next question this evening is from Mr. David O'Connor, who's in the gallery. Mr. O'Connor's question reads, it's understood that council, often partners with private and community organisations to help plan and deliver events and initiatives throughout the municipality. How does council define the term partnership in these cases, and is the organisation required to be a legally registered entity and have a public liability certificate of currency? Mr. Peter Bean, General Manager, Corporate Services, will respond.
Thanks for that question, David. It's a little bit of a long answer, but I hope I can explain it well enough for you. Just in addressing your question, it's got a couple of parts. It is true that Council works with a broad range of individuals, community groups and corporations to both support and deliver events within the municipality. It's generally considered that these initiatives are done in a cohesive or partnership arrangement. For example, the Jerriwarra Festival has 2 key components, the first being the parade and festival activities, and the second is the carnival, which is hosted by the Lions Club of Melton. Promotion for the entire activity is promoted as one and is managed as a partnership between the two entities. As far as private sponsorship to council's events, it is considered a partnership arrangement that they contribute to the organisations or the operations of the event either financially or in kind, and it's negotiated what the contribution by them is to the overall delivery of the event. Council supports many incorporated community groups with festivals and activities throughout the year, such as the Melton Environmental Group with its hosting of the Platypus Festival. This is an example of whereby this group has full responsibility for the legal requirements and insurances for that event, but Council plays a pivotal role in supporting them in the hosting and ultimate delivery of that. In other such activities, such as Clean Up Australia Day and some charity fundraising events, these are ones where Council often takes a lead role in the operations of the event and as such takes full responsibility for the insurance coverage and liability associated with the hosting of those events and is supported by a collective of many, many different groups and individuals in many cases who don't collectively make up a group who can obtain the coverage that is required to adequately host such an event or an initiative. Lastly, as an example of Council partnering with a group through financial sponsorship, a good example was last year Council assisted the Melton Botanical Garden Association with their involvement in the Melbourne Garden Expo. Council had no direct participation in this initiative, but supported the group in its participation in the activity. To address the last part of your question relating to whether a group needs to be legally registered or have public liability insurance, I hope I've outlined enough detail through a number of examples that it really does depend on a case-by-case basis as to whether it's required by an entity, which is weighed up against the fact that Council may choose to take on the role of activating an initiative in a situation where a group does not meet the criteria. Thank you.
Next is a further question from Mr. O'Connor. It reads, it was anticipated that the construction of the men's shed complex at Taylor's Hill, being a large facility, could cater for the catchment of Diggers Rest. Therefore, what percentage of Taylor's Hill men's shed patrons reside in Diggers Rest, and what engagement strategies have been implemented to attract these residents to the Taylor's Hill men's shed? Mr. Murray Heaney, General Manager, Community Services, to respond.
Thanks, David, for your question again. Yes, the shed has been open from June 2015 and has attracted a lot of interest. Currently, we have 59 registered men attending that shed. The majority of the 59 are from the eastern corridor or the eastern sector of our municipality, And I can tell you at the moment there is not one attending from the Diggers Rest area. The strategies that we used to talk to our residents at the time were there were media releases promoting the shed in February 2014 and followed up again in May 2015. We did communicate this through our Moving Ahead articles and had front page coverage in 2015 that goes to all of our residents. And over and above that, we had a letterbox drop delivery of a flyer, which I'm happy to show you later on, advising everyone in that eastern sector, including Diggers Rest, of a consultation session, which was held in October 2014, and also talked to a number of our service providers that talked to clients or other residents within the whole eastern sector. So I can tell you at the opening of the Diggers Rest, of the men's shed in Taylors Hill, there were Diggers Rest community members attended that and showed interest, but to date there's no one attending, so I'll follow up with you again after this meeting if that's okay, David. Thank you.
Next question is from Christian Singh. Is Christian Singh in the gallery? Yes, okay. It's a question in two parts. In reference to the application for planning permit PA 2015/4666, how many other telecommunication facilities, mobile phone towers, are in the proximity of where this proposed telecommunication facility will be situated? And secondly, has Council reviewed other locations for the proposed monopole that will not concern residents regarding the negative health consequences, particularly on children? Mr. Luke Shannon to respond.
Thank you, Christian, for your question. The question, as you know, relates to item number 11.7 on tonight's agenda in relation to a planning application for a mono tower. I am aware that there are a number of other like facilities in the Taylors Hill, Hillside and Caroline Springs area. Council is required to consider every plan application that is made on its merits, having regard to the provisions of the planning scheme and in consultation with the community. Obviously, we've received a significant number of objections, including the petition which was tabled tonight. You'll be aware, although Council has yet to consider the officer's report, and will do so later this evening, the officer's recommendation in this instance is that the application be refused. However, that will be subject to Council's consideration, as I said, later this evening. Thank you.
The next question is from Andreas Antonio. Mr. Antonio's in the meeting. Question again in two parts. It reads, back in August of 2013, I asked a public question on the Atherston development in relation to the project plan and the financial reports, and I was told that this was commercial in confidence and the Council were going to issue a public report at the end of the year. I have not yet received this report. When is it due? And secondly, why doesn't the Council do away with the public input on budget submissions or any other submissions for that matter, as it is a total waste of time and effort, as the Council does not adopt any of the public's recommendations or input, for example, the rates issue in the UGB. Mr. Peter Bean, General Manager of Corporate, will respond.
Thanks for the question, Andrew. Just in regard to the first part of the report you're requesting, it has been before Council and is on the web, so I'll send you a copy of the link over the next couple of days so you can look it up. If there's any problems or you want in hard copy, just send me an email back and I'm happy to provide that for you. In regard to the second part, certainly community input to the budget process is invaluable in developing Council's budget. For the current year, 2015-16 year, we held two community engagement sessions. We received 77 submissions. This is prior to the draft budget being developed or finalised, of which we certainly incorporated five of those public requests in that document. Once the draft budget was adopted by Council at its April Council meeting, we went out for the Section 223 community process, of which Council received 13 submissions to that public advertising and submissions process. Of the 13 submissions received, six of those initiatives were included in the final budget that was put before Council and adopted last meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And just in relation to that last question, I'd just like to add that it is a statutory requirement. It's not something that's discretionary for Council, so Council couldn't determine to do away with that process. Next question is from Stavrula Singh. who's in the gallery. And it reads, in relation to application for planning permit PA 2015/4666, in 2001 and 2005, council refused to similar applications. How does this application differ? And secondly, seeing as there has been a precedent set and similar applications refused, when will it finally be considered that this particular residential area slash site is not suitable to erect a 25 metre high monopole and associated panel antennae? And Mr. Luke Shannon will respond.
Thank you, Stavroul, for your question. This also relates to item 11.9 on tonight's agenda. As I indicated earlier, Council is required to consider every planning permit application that's made on its merits. I appreciate that that can be very frustrating for residents, given in this case there's a history of planning permit applications for the land which go back 10 or 15 years. But an applicant has a right to make an application which we must consider on its merits, and that's dealt with later in tonight's agenda. Depending on the outcome of that, if indeed Council does refuse the application, one would imagine that the carrier would get the message, if you like, that this is perhaps not an appropriate site for such a facility. But unfortunately, Council is not in a position where it can prohibit it as such. However, if indeed it is refused, then that would be three applications in a row, so it sends a fairly clear message, I would think. Thank you.
Next question is from A. Tuvana, who's in the gallery, and it reads, in particular, what sections of Clause 37.07 of the Melton Planning Scheme is planning application PA 2015/4725 contrary to? B. The Metropolitan Planning Authority confirms that application PA 2015/4725 is unlikely to detrimentally impact on future planning for the precinct. So on what grounds does Mr. Baggio state that it has the potential to prejudice the preparation and implementation of a future precinct structure plan? And can he please quantify future? C, please indicate how the proposal makes significant changes which may impact on how the land is developed in the future. D, please indicate how the proposal changes the use of the land. E, please indicate how the proposal affects sustainable land management. F, exactly what difficulties does the proposed subdivision give rise to in both the preparation and implementation of a PSP. G, please indicate how the two-lot subdivision PA 2012/3544 is in any way similar to this proposal. In addition, the MPA objected to that application. That application was a very different proposal. H, exactly how is the proposal inconsistent with provisions of the UGZ? I am not after subjective opinions, but instead concrete facts. I, what part of Clause 65.02 does Council consider appropriate? Please respond to each section separately and provide full details of avenues of appeal if application is refused. Mr. Luke Shannon to respond.
Thank you for the question. This question relates specifically to item number 11.10 on tonight's agenda, which will be considered by Council later this evening. You'll note from the officer's report at that item, it provides an assessment of the relevant planning permit considerations under the provisions of the Melton Planning Scheme. Further, it also provides details of the Metropolitan Planning Authority's input into the application and also previous history in relation to another application at a separate property. I don't propose to provide detailed response to each of the issues outlined in this question at this moment. I will, however, provide a written response to every question that you've asked and also provide any details in relation to appeals process, if that is appropriate. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Next question is also from A. Tuvana. The question reads, Melton Council is in full knowledge of the fact that copious numbers of ratepayers within this municipality are in financial hardship, and many are due to the rates burden imposed upon them by council themselves. Yet they recklessly spend thousands of dollars for three people, bracket two council officers and mayor, close bracket, to attend a UNESCO event overseas at the ratepayers' expense. A, at what council meeting did councillors vote on whether or not these individuals should attend this UNESCO event, and what was the division of votes? B, will council staff and the mayor prepare individual reports for the ratepayers of the issues discussed at the event and how they plan to implement them in Melton within 3 months of attending the event, considering the ratepayers are footing the bill? And C, what is Melton Council's affiliation with the United Nations? In response to that, at the 23rd of June Council meeting, Council resolved that the Mayor, myself and Mr Blunden, Learning Coordinator, attend the conference. It was a resolution of the Council. A division was called on that motion. There were four councillors present at the point of the division, as the Mayor had declared a conflict and excluded herself from the decision. There were three councillors voted in favour and one against. Reports will be prepared and presented. Most probably reports will be presented via the Community Learning Board, the minutes of which are presented to Council, and potentially directly to Council, depending on the matters covered in those reports. Council's affiliation with the United Nations is that we are a partner city in the UNESCO Global Network of Learning Cities. The next question is from Kelly Jones. Is Kelly Jones in the gallery? Yes. Okay. Question is with reference to the proposed telecommunications monopole at Taylor's Hill, City West Water Reserve off Hume Drive. In 2011, WHO, World Health Organization, added EMR to its list of Group 2B carcinogens and recommended that broader long-term studies into all possible cancers need to be conducted. Given that this is a relatively new technology and long-term health impacts are unclear, can Melton Council guarantee the health and safety of our family and community members who are living, sleeping and playing near this tower, particularly our children, as WHO specifically advised that there has been inadequate studies of EMR impact on children with their weaker immune systems and developing bodies and brains? Mr. Luke Shannon.
Thank you, Kelly, for your question. As I indicated earlier this evening, Council is required to consider a planning permit application on its merits. A telecommunication tower of this type is legal and is permitted in Victoria and in the City of Melton, subject to a planning permit from Council. As I've indicated, this will be considered later this evening by Council. The recommendation of council officers is that the application be refused. That will ultimately be a decision for the council to make. I do note, however, the issues of concern that you have raised, and obviously all councillors have heard that tonight. Thank you.
That completes public questions, Madam Mayor.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Boyd. We will now move on to... Okay, the presentation of staff reports, item number 1111, the authorisation of the fixing of the common seal of council.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move in block items 11.1, 11.2, 11.3 and 11.5, accepting all recommendations as put.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Is this motion seconded?
I'd like to second that, Madam Mayor.
OK, Okay, the motion before us has been moved by Councillor Turner, seconded by Councillor Cugliari, to block items 11.1, 11.2, 11.3 and 11.5, and the recommendations to be accepted that are contained within. Does any councillor oppose that recommendation? All those in favour of the recommendation? The recommendations carried. Thank you. We will now move on to agenda item 11.4, the referral from the Victorian Commission for Gambling and Liquor Regulations, West Waters Hotel, application for 10 additional electronic gaming machines. Mr. Heaney to report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This does relate to an application we have received from CSJV nominees that has applied through the Commission for an additional 10 gaming machines at the Westwater Hotel Complex in Caroline Springs. The existing machines in that facility equates to 80. This would take it to a total of 90 machines. The assessment of this that council officers have taken out has taken into account the additions that will that has been submitted as part of that facility, which are upgrades to the current facility, which would facilitate a $4.5 million upgrade to accommodate an additional 40 accommodation rooms at that Westwaters Hotel. It would also, they are offering an increase of their community contributions, if you like, by $20,000 a year over and above what they pay already for the council to support the existing funding, and that would be until August 2022, and the funding that is available at that centre is only available for the Eastern Corridor groups or residents to apply for grants through that process. It's also estimated to employ an additional 10 to 15 EFT through the additional gaming revenue and obviously the enhancements to that facility. The recommendations, Madam Mayor, is we have assessed this against our responsible gambling policy that was endorsed in October 2014 that gives officers and council some guidance. The policy acknowledges that gambling is a legal industry in Victoria and aims to minimise potential harms caused by problem gambling in the community. I have laid out, Madam Mayor, the spend of gaming machines in our municipality, which is on page 27. On this occasion, it's 10 additional machines, and the officers are recommending, obviously, to note the assessments against our responsible gaming policy as presented, and also not proceed to make a submission to the Victorian Commission for Gambling and Liquor Regulations regarding the application of Westwaters to increase the machines from 80 to 90, i.e. an additional 10 machines. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Does any councillor seek further clarification on this item? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
Madam Mayor, I'll move the recommendation as put in 11.4.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Is there a seconder for the recommendation?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Turner, seconded by Councillor Cugliari. Does any councillor oppose the recommendation? All those in favour of the recommendation? The recommendations carried. Thank you. We now move on to item 11.6, the Municipal Public Health and Wellbeing Plan 2013-2017 Progress Report. Mr. Heaney to report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Again, the Municipal Public Health and Wellbeing Plans are a requirement under the Public Health and Wellbeing Act 2008, and Council has previously endorsed the Municipal Public Health and Wellbeing Plan for the term of 2013-2017 at the ordinary meeting of Council back in October 2013. It aims to create a safe and well community for all and identifies four themes to achieve this, and that is, and they're listed on page 37 and 38, which are healthy places, a healthy community, of course, healthy people and healthy lifestyles. This document refers to the actions from the term of 2014-15, Madam Mayor and Councillors, and there were some 61 actions, which we've achieved 52 to date, and 9 are ongoing. But the most important thing is it lays out the framework for what we plan to deliver that lines up with our municipal public and health and wellbeing plan for the next year of 15 and 16, and that's itemised on page 39. The documents are attached, Madam Mayor, which are obviously last year's and next year's actions and outcomes of last year. The recommendations put forward from officers are that we note the progress of the Municipal Public Health and Wellbeing Plan for that term of 2013-2017, and again it's Appendix 1, and again note the actions that we proceed with for 15-16 under the plan, again as presented in the document Appendix 2. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Does any council seek further clarification on this item? Do I have a mover and a seconder for the recommendation?
I'd like to move it, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cucuiari.
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Cucuiari, seconded by Councillor Bentley. Does any councillor oppose the recommendation or the motion? All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Thank you. We now move on to item 11.7, the appointment of a councillor to the Melbourne Regional Landfill Community Consultation Group.
Madam Mayor, can I request that this lies on the table for a month, please?
It's a procedural motion. Can I have a seconder for that, please?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Okay, the motion's been moved by Councillor Turner, seconded by Councillor Bentley. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Thank you. Item 11.8, the amendment C119 to the Melton Planning Scheme at 195 to 295 Brooklyn Road, Brookfield. Mr. Baggio to report. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The amendment C119 essentially facilitates the development of the Botanica Springs Neighbourhood Activity Centre on a 5-hectare site which is located on the south side of Brooklyn Road in Brookfield. The proposal is generally consistent with Council's Retail and Activity Centre strategy, which has been fairly recently adopted by Council, and a local structure plan for the Botanica Springs estate, which was approved back in 2006. The amendment was exhibited from the 18th of December 2014 to the 29th of January 2015 and generated a total of 8 submissions. 2 of the submissions, which were essentially objections to the amendment, resulted in a panel being convened, and the panel hearing was conducted on the 7th and 8th of May this year. The panel report has now been received by Council, which basically recommends that the amendment be adopted as exhibited, subject to some changes to the development plan overlay. The panel concluded that rezoning land to facilitate a neighbourhood centre in Brookfield is justified. The amendment is strategically justified under the Council's planning scheme. The Melton Retail Activity Centre strategy was prepared with rigour, went through a process and consultation, and is in the preparatory stages of being the subject of a planning scheme amendment, and population growth will support 2 full-line supermarkets, and that a rezoning for a neighbourhood centre is justified. Madam Mayor, it's therefore recommended that Council adopt Amendment C119 to the Melton Planning Scheme, as recommended in the panel report, and submit it to the Minister for Planning for approval. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Baggio. Does any council seek further clarification on this item? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
I'll move that the recommendation be accepted, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Is there a seconder for the recommendation?
I'd like to second that, Madam Mayor.
Motion before us, councillors, has been moved by Councillor Bentley, seconded by Councillor Turner. Does anyone oppose the recommendation? All those in favour of the motion? Motion's carried. Thank you. Okay, now we'll move on to planning application PA 2015/4666, the use and development of the land for the purpose of a telecommunication facility comprising of a 25-metre high monopole with associated panel, antenna and an equipment shelter at 142 Hume Drive, Taylor's Hill, Melbourne Water Reserve Tank Site. Mr. Baggio to report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The subject land in this case is described on council records as 142 Hume Drive in Taylor's Hill. However, it's actually some distance. The actual site is actually some distance away from Hume Drive. So it's commonly, the site is commonly known as the Melbourne Water Tank or Reservoir site, which is basically north of the extension of Hardware Lane. The land's located in an existing residential area and, in fact, abuts residential properties on all sides. The application in this case proposes the construction of a 25-metre high slimline monopole telecommunication facility and compound on the subject land. The monopole will be located about 11 metres from the rear of properties off to Mallee Drive. The applicant has outlined that the application has been lodged on behalf of two carriers, that's Optus and Vodafone, for the deployment of mobile stations under a joint venture agreement by the two carriers. The applicants indicated that the JV agreement is a response to the growing demands being placed on the networks over the last few years, with the advent of devices such as smartphones and tablets, which are typically used to access data-rich content such as video content and games. So the application was advertised, Madam Mayor, and 53 objections were received to the application. There were a number of concerns, but I guess the main concerns were around the potential health impacts of the facility, the amenity impacts, particularly from a visual perspective to the adjacent surrounding houses. There were concerns that the facility would devalue properties in the area, and also the fact that a similar previous applications have been rejected by council on two separate occasions. So in essence, officers are of the view that while the proposal to co-locate two carriers on the facility is a good idea and admirable, this site, given its proximity to existing residential properties, is inappropriate for this type of facility. It's noted that one of the four principles of the Code of Practice for Telecommunication Facilities in Victoria is that a telecommunication facility should be sited to minimise visual impact. It's considered by officers that this has not been achieved or satisfied with this proposal. Therefore, Madam Mayor recommended that the application be refused on the grounds outlined on the front page of the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Badger. Okay. Does any councillor seek further clarification? I'd actually like to get the wording for the petition under dot point 5 that's going to be heard with this report all in the one. So could I have someone move the wording under dot point number 5? Have you got the wording?
I don't, Madam Mayor, because you do.
Okay, so you want to do this subsequently. Okay. I thought it was going to be done concurrently. Okay. All right, sorry. Delete that, rewind. Before us we have 11.9. If no councillor seeks further clarification, is there a councillor prepared to move the recommendation?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the recommendation that the council issue a notice of refusal of the above proposal on the following grounds listed on section 1 to 4 on page 137.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Seconded?
I'd like to second that, Madam Mayor.
I was actually wondering which councillor was going to get to their feet first, because I know they're both very passionate about this item. Okay, the motion before us has been moved by Councillor Carley, seconded by Councillor Cugliari. Does anyone oppose the recommendation, the motion, sorry? All those in favour of the motion?
The motion's carried. Thank you. Did you want to say something, Councillor?
I did. Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, I'm very pleased that my fellow councillors have seen that this proposal was no good from the get-go. I can say, Madam Mayor, that this was first brought to my attention back in April 2015 by residents who were very concerned. As a ward councillor, I went out to the site to see exactly how close this monopole would be to the residential properties, and I was shocked to see exactly how close it was going to be. This application, I can tell my fellow councillors, has caused a lot of stress in the Taylors Hill community. You only need to look at page 141 to see the list of the residents' concerns. I congratulate all the residents who went out and in the rain and in the hail to get signatures for that petition. In 2001, Taylors Hill residents said no. In 2005, Taylors Hill residents said no. And again in 2015, Taylors Hill residents are saying no. So I hope that this sends a loud and clear message to the telecommunications companies that we do not want it. Thank you.
Sorry. Councillor Cuglieri, would you like to say something?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I also like to echo the words of Councillor Carley and like to thank all the residents who contacted me and expressed their concerns. I think it was Councillor Ramsey and myself that were opposing it in 2005, and here we are again in 2015 opposing it again, so I hope they do get the message. Thank you.
Okay. Not that I just want to add to it, but not only the Taylors Hill residents said no, but Council said no in 2001, Council said no in 2005, and Council has said no again in 2015 in support of the residents of Taylors Hill. Okay, we have the petition before us, and I can't read for the life of me, so could someone please read that? I'm going blind, I apologise.
Okay, the petition is for the application for planning permit PA2015466 and reads, we the undersigned vehemently object to the above proposal for a planning permit to erect telecommunications facility as described, and laying out the reasons for such objection. Given that Council has now moved notice of refusal for the proposal that's referred to, I would suggest to Council that we should acknowledge the petition by writing to the first named petitioner, advising of the action that Council has taken in this matter and thanking them for their contribution to the debate.
Okay. Now, having realised that and having many of the petitioners in the gallery, is there a councillor that would like to move that recommendation?
I'm more than happy to move that recommendation. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Cully, is there a seconder?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Cuglieri. Okay. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Carley, seconded by Councillor Cuglieri. Does anyone oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Thank you. And thank you to the residents once again. Okay, we now move on to 1110, planning application PA2015/4725, two lot subdivision at 632-650 Mount Cottrell Road, Melton. And that's going to be presented by Mr. Bob Baggio. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The subject site in this case has an area of 12 hectares and has frontage to the west side of Mount Cottrell Road in Melton. It contains an existing dwelling and outbuildings located close to the northern boundary of the site. The remainder of the site is developed with a horse training track and paddocks. The site and surrounding land is within the future Melton East precinct structure plan area. This precinct structure plan has not been prepared to date. Essentially, the application proposes a two-lot subdivision of the site. Proposed lot one is located in the northeast corner of the site and has an area of 2 hectares. This lot would contain the existing dwelling and outbuildings. Proposed lot 2 would form the balance of the land and would have a total area of 10 hectares. This lot would contain the existing horse training track. The key issue for council to consider in assessing this application is considered to be the provisions of the urban growth zone that apply to land where a precinct structure plan has not yet been prepared. As I mentioned previously, the site is within the Melton East Precinct Structure Plan area, and the preparation of the PSP by the Metropolitan Planning Authority has not yet commenced. Where this is the case, the zone includes a number of limitations on how the land can be used or developed prior to a PSP being approved. The intent of these provisions is to ensure that significant changes which may impact on how the land is developed in the future are minimised. It's considered by officers that this application has the potential to prejudice the future use and development of the land and the preparation of the future PSP for the area. The fragmentation of land through subdivision can give rise to issues or difficulties in both the preparation and implementation of that future PSP. Preparation of a PSP takes into account a number of factors in determining how an area can be developed. This includes considerations such as flooding, heritage, native vegetation, co-location of schools and open space, distribution of activity centres and the like. It's been our experience that the creation of small lots and fragmentation of land introduces additional land ownership patterns. This impacts the ability of council to provide a logical and efficient future urban structure in the PSP by reducing the location of open space schools and other community facilities which require land to be set aside. In terms of implementation, it's considered that the introduction of additional land parcels can lead to difficulties in the delivery of projects such as road widening, schools and open space reserves. Projects such as these require negotiation with affected landowners, and the introduction of additional small lots increases the time and cost of delivering these key community facilities. So, Madam Mayor, in this context, it's recommended that the application be refused as recommended. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Badger. Does any councillor seek further clarification? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
Madam Mayor, I'll move the recommendation as put in 11.1.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Is there a seconder for the recommendation?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
The motion before us, councillors, has been moved by Councillor Turner, seconded by Councillor Bentley. Does any councillor oppose the recommendation? All those in favour of the recommendation? The recommendation is carried. Thank you. 11.11. We have a planning application PA 2014/4614, a three-lot subdivision at 244 to 294 Leakes Road, Plumpton. Mr. Badger to report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The site is located at 244 to 294 Leakes Road in Plumpton. It has an irregular rectangular shape due to its boundary with the Coroid Creek. The site has an area of 65, almost 66 hectares, has a frontage of approximately 400 metres to Leakes Road, currently contains a single-storey dwelling and a number of farm sheds. Essentially, the application proposes to subdivide the land into three lots. Lot 1 will contain the bulk of the property and would have an area of about 58 hectares and is proposed to continue to be used for its agricultural cropping purposes. Lot 2 will be approximately 4 hectares in area and will contain the existing dwelling, while proposed Lot 3 will also be about 4 hectares in area and contain the current vineyard machinery and storage sheds immediately to the east of the existing dwelling. I think it's important for Council to note that on the 23rd of September 2014, it adopted the Western Plains North Green Wedge Management Plan in line with state government requirements. The adopted management plan recognises that the subject land is located within Precinct 3, which is titled Leakes Road and Holden Road. This precinct is one of two precincts which is recognised for agriculture within this particular green wedge. Whilst it is acknowledged that farming is difficult in this area due to things like low rainfall, urban pressures and land mismanagement in some cases, both this precinct and Precinct 2 have been recognised in the plan as two key agricultural corridors due to the presence of large allotments with minimal fragmentation, and both have access to the Sunbury Wastewater Treatment Facility and associated recycled water pipeline. So in essence, it's considered that the proposed Freelot subdivision is essentially inconsistent with the strategic direction of Precinct 3 and the recommendations identified as part of the Green Wedge Management Plan. In particular, it's considered that subdivision will result in the fragmentation of land, which is designated for agricultural purposes, without adequate justification through a recycle water business plan. Whilst the management plan does not rule out opportunities for rural living on smaller lots, the plan identifies other possible areas within the Green Wedge which are, for a number of factors or reasons, considered more appropriate for this type of subdivision. It's therefore recommended that the application be refused. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Baggio. Does any council seek further clarification? Actually, if I may, could I ask, would the applicant be aware that there's $75,000 worth of costs for Western Water in regards to this application? One more wrong. Sorry.
For you, Madam Mayor, I'm not aware of the cost.
It says here it will cost approximately $75,000 to supply the subject allotments with mains water.
Okay. I don't know whether the applicant's aware of that.
Okay. I also ask the question, when would this application have arrived into council? Do we know the date when they first applied?
Through you, Madam Mayor, I don't know the exact date. It was lodged around the time that the two previous applications were considered by council for similar subdivisions were lodged. I think it's been in for quite some time, it's taken some time for the applicants to provide additional information.
Okay, now there were two key documents you outlined that council had approved. Was this application in prior to that or after that?
Through you, Madam Mayor, in terms of the Green Wedge, the Western Plains North Green Wedge Management Plan,
mm-hmm.
I believe that the application was lodged after the approval
mm-hmm.
of that particular plan.
All right.
Yeah.
That's one. Thank you. Does any other council seek further clarification?
Through you, Madam Mayor. We've noted that the two secondary lots do not have sealed road access. If that was required, what would the cost be with respect to sealing that section of road?
Through you, Madam Mayor, the cost of sealing a road to a rural standard is generally $1 million per kilometre. So this is in the order of 400 or 500 metres. So it's expected to be $400,000 or $500,000 to fully construct it to a rural standard sealed. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Yes, Councillor Bedley.
Madam Mayor, who would have to bear that cost?
Through you, Madam Mayor, if Council determines to issue a permit, that would be a cost borne by the applicant. Once the road was sealed, then it would be included on council's road register and the council would maintain it forevermore.
So we'll need to speak up because we're competing with the weather elements, but if there are no further questions for clarification, is there a mover? Councillor Cugliari.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to put forward an alternative resolution for PA 214/4614, the three-lot subdivision of land at 244 to 294 Leakes Road, Plumpton, that Council issue a planning permit for the three-lot subdivision of land at 244 to 294 Leakes Road, Plumpton, subject to a number of conditions, which every councillor this evening has a copy of.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. If everybody can revert to the alternative resolution moved by Councillor Cugliari, is there a second after this?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to second that. Thanks.
Councillor Carley. Okay, the motion before us has been moved by Councillor Cugliari, seconded by Councillor Carley. Does anyone oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Thank you. Planning application PA 2015 4746, two lot subdivision at 942-996 Beattie's Road, Rockbank. Mr. Bob Badger to report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So the subject site here has an area. Subject site here has an area of 12.38 hectares and has frontage to both Beattie's Road and Leakes Road in Rockbank. The land contains an existing dwelling and outbuildings, which are located in the southwest corner of the site. The remainder of the site is largely vacant. The site and surrounding area, similar to the previous application I mentioned in our Cottrell Road, is within the future Melton East Precinct Structure Plan area, and the Precinct Structure Plan is yet to be prepared to date. So the application in this case proposes a two-lot subdivision of the site. Proposed lot one is located in the southeast corner of the site and has an area of 2 hectares. This lot would contain the existing dwelling and outbuildings, and proposed lot two would form the balance of the land with a total area of 10.38 hectares, and this lot would be vacant. So again, the key issue for council in considering the application, in assessing this application, is the provisions of the urban growth zone that apply to the land where a precinct structure plan has yet to be prepared. So the site's within the Melton East PSP area, and the preparation of the PSP by the Metropolitan Planning Authority has yet to be commenced. Essentially, it's considered by officers that this application, similar to the other application in Mount Cottrell Road, has the potential to prejudice the future use and development of the land and the preparation of a PSP for the area. So the fragmentation of land through subdivision can give rise to difficulties in both the preparation and implementation of a PSP. Preparation of a PSP takes into account a number of factors.
Excuse me, please, no interjection. Excuse me, we aren't taking information from the gallery. We're listening to the officer.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you.
Preparation of a PSP takes into
account. Okay, that's first and second warning. Okay, that's the second warning. Please continue, Mr. Baggio, please.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Okay, could I ask the two that are continuously vocal about this, if you want to hear the outcome of, well then, please cease or remove yourself from the gallery. Second and last
warning. What is the fine for continuous interjection? Cease now. Thank you. Please continue, Mr. Baggio.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So, the creation of small lots and fragmentation of land introduces additional land ownership patterns.
Could you please remove yourself, Mr. Antonio? Could you please remove yourself, Mr. Antonio? There's a lot of transparency. Could you please stand and remove yourself? Mr. Badger, could
Thank
you please you, resume? Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Badger.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The creation of small lots and fragmentation of land introduces additional land ownership patterns. This impacts the ability of council to provide a logical and efficient future urban structure in the PSP. In terms of implementation, the introduction of additional land parcels also leads to difficulties in the delivery of projects such as road widening, schools and open space reserves. Projects such as these require negotiation with affected landowners, and the introduction of additional small lots increases the time and cost of delivering these key community facilities. It's therefore recommended, Madam Mayor, that the application be refused as recommended. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Baggio. Okay, does any council seek further clarification on this item? Is there a mover and a seconder for this recommendation?
I'll move that the recommendation be accepted, Madam Mayor.
No, actually, I'm wise to move, second the recommendation. And I won't have anyone threatening or intimidating my council. Thank you very much. Councillor Ramsay seconded. Okay, the motion has been moved by Councillor Bentley, seconded by Councillor Ramsay. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? I'd like to call a division. All those in favour of the motion? Councillor Ramsay, Councillor Cugliari, Councillor Carley, Councillor Bentley, Councillor Turner. The motion's carried. 11.13, VCAT decision on application for planning permit number PA2014/4310 to 320 Telephone Road, Exford. Mr. Badger to report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. so the land in this case is located at 320 Telephone Road in Exford and has an area of around 4 hectares. Council will recall that in July, or may recall that in July 2014, it refused a planning application to legitimise greyhound keeping and training on the site, essentially on the basis the use was incompatible with the surrounding rural residential surroundings and would result in an unreasonable impact on the amenity of the surrounding area. It was further resolved by council that the applicants be requested to cease the use within 3 months and comply with the requirements of the planning scheme. So the applicants subsequently sought a review of the council's refusal, which was heard by VCAT over 3 days in March and April of this year. On the 10th of June this year, VCAT directed the council to issue a permit. In reporting on this VCAT decision, it's important, I think, for council to note that the proposal and plans that were considered by council at the time accommodated little or no noise attenuation measures. However, prior to the VCAT hearing, amended plans were substituted, which actually proposed a range of noise attenuation measures. So in the decision, the tribunal indicated that having heard the submissions and evidence and inspected the site, the case essentially turned on two issues, and those issues were, is this an appropriate site for the proposal, And can the noise of barking dogs on the site be restricted to an acceptable level? So in terms of the issue of the appropriateness of the site, the tribunal essentially found that state and local planning policy generally supports the proposal. In fact, it found that the zoning of the site and surrounding properties conditionally allows the proposal and that the zone purposes do not highlight the protection of residential amenity, and this lessens the weight that the tribunal gave to such protection. In terms of the noise issue, it should be also noted by council that both the applicant and the council called expert witnesses to address the noise issue. Both witnesses concluded that the relevant noise targets in the relevant state government noise control policy could be met if the facilities were acoustically treated. Both experts proposed different acoustic treatments, however, the tribunal preferred the evidence from the council's witness. So VCAT's decision to support the application in some respects is not surprising given the evidence provided to the tribunal by the acoustic experts and the changes made to the plans before the hearing in an attempt to address the noise issues. Whether these attenuation measures are effective in reducing the noise to reasonable levels to surrounding residents is a matter which I guess will become evident once they have been implemented. Probably a bigger issue from Council's perspective are the comments made by the Tribunal about the zoning of the site and the surrounding area, which is Green Wedge Zone, and the lack of protection that it affords in terms of considerate amenity issues for surrounding residents. While it's understandable for large rural properties which are being used for agricultural uses, the same cannot be said for, in effect, rural residential estates such as this, where lots are generally about 4 hectares in area and are being used largely for residential and hobby farming purposes. It's also worth noting that Council is proposing to develop a Green Wedge management plan for the southern Green Wedge, similar to what has already been prepared and approved by Council for the northern Green Wedge area. Ordinarily, the management plan will identify, amongst other things, whether any rezoning was warranted based upon the particular circumstances of the site or area. The timeline, however, for the preparation of the management plan has yet to be determined, as part of the Green Wedge is also located within the city of Wyndham and relies on coordinating work priorities between the two councils. So on the basis of this VCAT decision, it's recommended that council officers liaise with the Department of Environment, Land, Water and Planning to essentially determine the feasibility of initiating an amendment to council's planning scheme to rezone this estate to a more appropriate zone, which could be, for example, the Green Wedge A zone or the rural living zone. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Badger. Does any council seek further clarification on this item? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
Madam Mayor, I move the recommendation that council note the VCAT decision.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Councillor Cuglieri?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. The motion before us, councillors, has been moved by Councillor Turner, seconded by Councillor Cuglieri. Does anyone oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? Motion's carried. Thank you. We now move on to 1114, the National Stronger Regions Fund, and it's to be moved by, reported to by General Manager Mr. Luke Shannon.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillors will recall that last year the federal government announced a program known as the National Stronger Regions Fund. That's a $1 billion fund over 5 years. Specifically, the fund is to cater or is to provide funding for capital projects which involve the construction of new infrastructure or the upgrade or extension of existing infrastructure. The projects must deliver an economic benefit to the region beyond the period of the construction period, and the project should support disadvantaged regions or areas of disadvantage within the region. And obviously the funding subject to applications by through government, local government in particular. Council will recall that earlier this year we lodged an application to round one of the fund for what is known as the Pride of Melton project. In essence, that project involves the rejuvenation of the streetscape around the vicinity of the Melton Courthouse, wrapping around to the new Melton Library and Learning Hub, and also the upgrade of the streetscape in Bakery Square and Wallace Square. Unfortunately, we were unsuccessful in round one. However, on the positive side, round two is now open for applications and they close on the 31st of July. And Madam Mayor, it's proposed that we resubmit our application. We've received some very constructive feedback as to why we were unsuccessful in round one, so we intend to amend the application to seek to address those issues. In addition, Madam Mayor, there's been a new category that's been introduced as part of round two, and that provides a relatively small bucket of $25 million across the country, whereby an application for up to $1 million can be made for specific quarantined applications. And Madam Mayor has proposed that we also put in an application in that category for the Aged Services Redevelopment Project, which is in Mackenzie Street. Council has already committed to the project and has allocated $2.4 million funding to that project. It's proposed that we include an application for $900,000 under that program, and if that's successful, that will obviously provide a significant advantage to our budget this financial year. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. It's a very good news story. Does any council seek further clarification on this item? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
I'll move it, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Is the recommendation seconded?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Cugliari, seconded by Councillor Bentley. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Thank you, councillors. We now move on to another positive story. Councillor Cugliari has expressed a conflict. I apologise. I did see you, Luke. 11:15, Roads to Recovery, also to be presented by Mr. Luke Shannon.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This indeed is a good news story, I think. Council will be aware that the Federal Government Roads to Recovery program was introduced in 2001, and that was intended to provide support to local governments across the country to address the issue of backlog of maintenance of the local road network. It's not intended to fund council's day-to-day local road network maintenance, rather it's to address particular upgrades and high-level maintenance of key local roads. Council may have read in the press over the last number of weeks that the government has announced additional funds for this program. These funds are directly as a result of the tying of the indexation of the fuel excise to changes in inflation. As a result of that, Madam Mayor, Council will receive significant additional funding, particularly over the forthcoming 2 years, including this financial year. And if I can refer Council to page 200, the table at the bottom of 212, and it goes over to the following page. The left-hand column provides an indication of how much Council has budgeted this financial year for Roads to Recovery, and that's $1.2 million, and also indicates what our strategic resource plan indicates over the following 4 years for funding. If I can refer councillors to the right-hand column, that provides an indication of the additional funding over and above what we had budgeted for this year and what we will receive over the forthcoming 5 years, including this year, which is an additional $3.45 million or thereabouts than what our budget and strategic resource plan indicates. As a result of that, Madam Mayor, officers have done an analysis of roads that may be eligible for significant works particularly those that are within the immediate horizon on our capital works program. There's details of the roads that were considered within the report. The road that is recommended receive the funding is Mount Cottrell Road to the south of Greggs Road West, and heading in a southerly direction to Boundary Road, which is the boundary with the city of Wyndham. The reason for that, Madam Mayor, is that the road is partly sealed. There's a single lane bitumen treatment over the first section of it, and then turns to gravel. It's carrying significant volumes of traffic and provides a significant strategic link between the Melton Township and the wider community and Werribee and the wider area. And the report also details, Madam Mayor, that it's been the subject of two fatalities over the last 5 years and a number of serious crashes. So accordingly, Madam Mayor, it's recommended that Council bring forward the construction of this road. Details are provided in the halfway down page 213 of when the road was programmed for construction, and that was over a three-year period from 2016-17 through to 2018-19. Mm-hmm. It's proposed to bring that forward to commence this financial year and conclude next financial year. And as a result of the funding from the federal government, that will provide opportunity to reallocate money that otherwise might have been spent on roads over that period of time. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Now, can I repeat again? That's a good news story. I jumped the gun. The other one's possibly going to be a really good news story, but this one definitely is. To think that there'd been a number of car crashes for two fatalities on this stretch of road, and it's going to be enabled to be sealed through great advocacy and networking through council's teams. Is there a mover for... does any council seek clarification? Is there a mover for this item?
I'd like to move it. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. And is there a seconder for the recommendation or the motion?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Carley, seconded by Councillor Bentley. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Just awaiting a moment for Councillor Cugliari to rejoin us in the chamber. Can I commend all units that have worked in this regard for 1115, the roads to recovery, and all the advocacy that's gone on for that subject? Thank you. We are now on to 1116, General Local Law 2015, and Mr Dan Hogan's joined us. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Empowered by the Local Government Act 1989, a range of council powers and functions are administered through the General Local Law 2005, providing for the peace, order and good government of the municipality and local community. The General Local Law has been in effect since 2005 and under Section 122 of the Act is due to sunset in late October 2015. Consequently, Council has reviewed the General Local Law 2005 and has developed an updated version for proposed adoption attached as Appendix 1 to the report. The proposed General Local Law takes into account various changes to legislation over the last 10 years and includes a number of improvements to reflect contemporary standards and expectations of local amenity and enjoyment of the municipality and local neighbourhoods. In accordance with Section 223 of the Act, Council is required to invite submissions from interested parties and members of the community to comment on the proposed General Local Law for the consideration of Council. To assist the community understand the changes and likely effect, a community impact statement, also attached to Appendix 2, has been developed as an explanatory document. Following the public consultation period, in accordance with defined statutory processes under the Act, Council will consider these applications in any final determination and making of an updated local law at a future ordinary meeting of Council. Most of the update is predominantly administrative in nature. I do, however, nonetheless highlight a small number of new inclusions for your attention, and these include clauses applying to special events, garage sales, the prevention and rectification of unsightly, dilapidated and dangerous premises, restrictions regarding the storage of shipping containers, portable self-storage containers, heavy vehicles, unregistered vehicles and machinery, also new provisions in regards to fire hazards and animal control. Provisions in regard to a range of penalties have been expanded. And in conclusion, Madam Mayor and Council, I offer this report and attendant recommendation for your consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Hogan. Does any council seek further clarification on this item? Is there a mover for the recommendation? Oh, sorry. Clarification.
Yes, please.
Councillor Turner.
When it mentions penalties, like penalty units, do we have a value for the penalty units? I maybe missed it.
Penalty units are set at $100 each.
Thank you.
Any further clarification required by any councillor? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
I'll move that motion, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Is there a seconder for the recommendation?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Before us, we have a motion that's been moved by Councillor Bentley, seconded by Councillor Cugliari. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? Motion's carried. Thank you. We will now move on to 1117, the Interface Growth Fund, Council's priority projects, and it's going to be presented by Mr. Luke Shannon.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This report details another opportunity for Council to receive significant funding, this time from a state government level. Councils will recall that on the 3rd of July, the Minister for Local Government, the Honourable Natalie Hutchins, officially launched the initial $50 million Interface Growth Fund, which is aimed specifically as an initial contribution towards meeting the critical local infrastructure needs for communities in the diverse and fast-growing outer suburbs. The fund is specifically pitched at the 10 interface councils around metropolitan Melbourne, of which Melton is obviously one. The interface councils represent the collective voice of all members to address issues of significance to the interface region. Interface councils seek to work collaboratively with government to achieve outcomes for the benefit of local communities. Madam Mayor, the applications under the fund have opened as of the 1st of July this year and close on the 31st of July, with no one council eligible for greater than 20% of the total $50 million fund, that is a maximum of $10 million. The categories of infrastructure are likely to include community, environmental resilience and livability, and economic. Projects will be assessed over the 6 project assessment criteria, and the following 2 program-wide factors, which are detailed for Council on page 292 of the officer's report. Council officers have been working on what the priority projects might be under this fund, Madam Mayor, in anticipation of it being announced, and also in light of the guidelines subsequently being released. Mm-hmm. In doing so, we've had particular regard to our strategic resource plan and the capital works program. And accordingly, Madam Mayor, the projects recommended for submission in priority order are listed on the bottom of page 290 and the top of 291. Mm-hmm. And in summary, they are the Caroline Springs Regional Tennis Pavilion and Indoor Court expansion, the Pride of Melton project, which I spoke about earlier, Bridge Road Regional Play Space, 5 Mackenzie Street Aged Services Redevelopment, which I also spoke about earlier, and the Melton Community-Based Ambulatory Care Centre. Accordingly, Madam Mayor, the recommendation is that we seek funding, as detailed in the report, based on the priorities that I've just spoken about. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Does any council require any further clarification on this item? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move this recommendation and in doing so commend officers for the work putting this together. It's a lot of work putting these together and also for the ongoing advocacy that they're very strongly advocating for our council.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Is there a seconder for this
I don't know about you, councillors, but if I was down there, I'd be jumping to my feet before the mayor had even stopped.
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Okay, the motion before us has been moved by Councillor Turner, seconded by Councillor Cugliari. Does any councillor oppose the recommendation? The motion, sorry. All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Thank you, councillors. We now move on to the reports from delegates appointed to other bodies. Now, these are the committees of council. Delegates. Okay, Councillor Cugliari, would you like to go first?
Nil, Madam Mayor. Had a quiet month.
That was quick. Councillor Carley, would you like to go?
Madam Mayor, I'm also nil for this month.
Okay, Councillor Bentley. Oh, sorry, Councillor Bentley, I have to ask you.
Surprise, surprise, nil, Madam Mayor.
Just wait till November. Councillor Turner.
Yes, Madam Mayor, apologies. I've been away for 11 days, but I managed to fit in a couple of meetings. One was the Home Advisory, it's not actually a council committee, but it's a Hope to Home Advisory Committee meeting, which is looking at homelessness in Melton.
I was going to say, can you say that again?
I can say it faster if you like.
No, just...
Hope to Home, even I got mixed up, Advisory Committee.
Okay.
And it's regarding homelessness in Melton and looking for accommodation, and or it's a project to put together some accommodation in Melton. And it's only in its infancy at present, and that was basically the second meeting. There's a lot of good news to come out of that, hopefully in the future. Also attended a youth council meeting at Youth Services, where Officer Adrian Burns come along and he taught the youth on meeting procedures. Should have taught me some, eh? Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. We were just discussing whether the Hope Street one was a committee of... That's all right. Whilst Councillor Turner was up in Birdsville getting a beautiful suntan and listening to some of my favourite bands, I attended the Western Melbourne Tourism Board, the Audit Committee, the PDAC, the Western Waves Reference Group, and all the reports... I've attended. If any council wishes to ask me any information about them, please don't hesitate to get in touch with me because I've got reports on each of them. Thank you. Okay, now we're going to go on to the councillor representation and acknowledgements.
No, Madam Mayor.
Okay. But having said that, I'd like to ask the councillors the public address of each councillor, and I'll commence now with Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, on the 25th of June, I attended the Western Leaders Unite to End Men's Violence Against Women's Forum. Mm-hmm. Can I just say what a great afternoon that was? However, the statistics that we were told were very, very frightening. One of them that stood out for me was that police are called 70,000 times in 1 year for domestic violence issues. That's a huge concern, and I know it's an issue that affects our municipality quite heavily, Madam Mayor. On the 4th of April, I attended the Orange Pigeon Charity Fundraising Night. I can say that there was probably not a dry eye that evening. It was dedicated to Nadine Webber. Nadine was very involved with the Orange Pigeon, and she sadly lost her battle with cancer. The Orange Pigeon is a wish-granting association for terminally and seriously ill adults. To date, they have granted 75 wishes. I also attended on the 9th of July the official flag-raising ceremony here at the Council Civic Centre for NAIDOC Week. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Councillor Bentley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I wanted to speak this month about something that Councillor Carley just spoke about, and the Orange Pigeon Foundation. Many of my fellow councillors were lucky enough to attend the dinner on the 4th of July, and as Councillor Carley said, there wasn't a dry eye in the house. It remembered not only the life of Nadine, but the work that Orange Pigeon are doing. There are many charities out there, such as Make-A-Wish, that grant wishes for terminally ill children, and they do a fantastic job. But it was recently discovered that there isn't a similar sort of charity for adults. And through the hard work of the volunteers at Orange Pigeon, so they've granted 75 wishes to terminally ill patients from things such as allowing people to spend the day with their family swimming with the dolphins, to providing chairs and recliners to help comfort those who are going through what would be the toughest time of their life. So we all had the opportunity to support that, and I hope that council and the community continue to support Orange Pigeon, because it was a charity that was born from Melton, bought from this city, and it's great to see that the people of this community can do something like that. The other thing I'd like to remind our residents on a slightly more, hopefully, upbeat note, and my great hope of the environment, is that it's coming up to National Tree Day on the 26th of July. And I wish and hope that all of our residents get out on that Sunday morning and plant a tree. And I make it quite clear that if they haven't got a tree themselves, they can head down to the Melton Botanic Garden, pick up a shovel, and I'm sure they'll be supplying a tree there for them. And all the equipment, I think they just need to wear some appropriate clothing and footwear, and they'll be ready to go. And in saying that, I'd just like to make a reminder that it is the Friends of the Melton Botanic Garden Annual General Meeting on the, I believe, the 12th of August, and I recommend that all the residents come along, and I think the invitation has been given to all our councillors to talk about tourism. So, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bentley, or Councillor Bentley, sorry. Councillor Turner.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I also attended the Western Leaders Unite to End Men's Violence Against Women Forum, which was a very strong, interesting afternoon. The 27th, I attended with yourself, not sure if Councillor Bentley was there, to the Melton Swimming Club presentation night. It was amazing to see such a group of fit and happy young kids and adults. It was just fantastic to see them on the night. And also last night, along with yourself and Councillor Bentley, we attended the Citizenship Seminary, which was another great night with another 90 residents for our community. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cagliari.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd just like to highlight last week's celebration of NAIDOC Week. As Councillor Carley noted, that the flag-raising event occurred on Thursday, the 9th of July. And this year's NAIDOC Week theme was We All Stand on Sacred Land, Learn, Respect and Celebrate. NAIDOC Week celebrations were held locally and across Australia from the 5th to the 12th of July to celebrate the history, the culture and the achievements of the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, now I'm going to breeze through these, not because I've got a time limit or anything. I'm going to start from the last one to and go backwards. The citizenship last night was probably one of the best I've attended, and not because I, officiated it. It was a group of, the groups were absolutely fantastic. They were patient, and I want to commend Mr. Dan Hogan for the pronunciation of all the surnames, because that was a mean feat. And I thank Councillor Turner and Councillor Bentley for supporting us there, and also General Manager Peter Bean. The unveiling of the new Melton South sign, Councillor Turner forgot to mention that, but we've worked on it, and Councillor Turner ruined a $70 shirt as a result of the mosaics for that sign. But it is... Who hasn't seen it? Come on, fess up. It is fantastic, and it's right near the Melton South Railway Station, and it's something Melton South communities, but by and large the whole of the community of Melton should be very, very proud of. Pop culture down at the Caroline Springs Library. If if I hear people say council does nothing for our children, don't say it to me, please. There was in excess of 150 kids and adults there at the Pop Culture last week, and it was Willy Wonka was there with an Oompa Loompa, except this Oompa Loompa was really tall and skinny. And there was a lot of different chocolate activities, hat and fan activities, a lolly line. It was just, there was something there for everybody, and it was overwhelming to see the efforts the events team put into making that happen. And Mr. Bean, could you please pass on to the events team, especially Christine, Heidi, Dominique and Maddie, my thanks, and to yourself for being there that night. The NAIDOC official flag raising ceremony was a great day, and it is so warm and welcoming to be part of the extended family, and it was good that, now I'm going to get his name wrong, aren't I? Uncle Ron officiated and did the welcome to country for that service and was also one of the flag bearers. Orange Pigeon Charity, most have already spoken about it. I have, along with Councillor Turner, had the pleasure, I'm not sure if Councillor Cugliari, I'm sure she has as well, met Nadine Webber, who the night was there in honour of, and Nadine was what I class as a true battler, but she was a great community spirit, and the whole night went off really well, and her husband spoke exceptionally well. The Red Cross AGM, what a marvellous group of volunteers doing some fantastic work there. I also went to Woodley for the Woodley newcomers. These are the residents that have just put a deposit down for a piece of land at the new Woodley. They did a bus tour of Melton and they wanted to see all the different sites. And I met them at the Western Base. And there was in excess of about 60 people at the Western Base looking around. These people are just interested in the areas, in the area and the municipality they've bought into. And it was great being part of that vibe. The Leeds completion ceremony, Sunita, what an absolutely fantastic job she does. We now have a whole heap of energy ambassadors out there spreading the word about reducing their consumption of energy. And there's quite a few more sessions to be had. So if you're interested, please contact council and we'll guide you onto those sessions. The presidential changeover for the Rotary Club of Melton, I attended as the mayor. We've had a meeting with the partners of the Vietnam Vets, Councillor Turner and myself. I attended the funeral, Henry's funeral, which was a really sad day, but he will be forever admired and remembered in a lot of people's hearts. The Western Leaders Unite to End Men's Violence. The Melton Swimming Club presentation night, the Wyndham Building Blocks Community Graduation Ceremony, the West Waters VIP dinner, and first and more importantly, there's a gentleman at Sutton Park Retirement Village, and his name is Charlie Fawcett, and he was just presented with the French Medal of Honour. So I want to extend council's congratulations on this, you know, wonderful, he's a wonderful recipient, he's a very humble recipient, but I'll be going down to see it because I know he wants to show it off. So to Mr. Charlie Fawcett, congratulations, you're a champion and a scholar, but also you fought for our country, and we can only say thank you. Okay, we now move on to the notices of motion. We have notice of motion 405, Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, I'd like to move that at the next ordinary meeting of council, a report be prepared with the full costs of holding every second ordinary council meeting at the Caroline Springs Library Civic Centre for the remainder of this council term.
Is there a seconder for the notice of motion?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Okay. Does any councillor seek clarification? Does any councillor oppose the motion? Actually, it's not that I want to oppose the motion. I just want to ask whether the two... I will wait for the report, but 2,300 for each of the off-site ordinary meetings, what does that include?
Madam Mayor, there's a list of the items included in that calculation. That report, harking back to when that report was originally prepared, there are a number of riders on that, and there were a number of options underpinning it in terms of the standard of setup, the standard of sound management, the standard of furniture provision, etc. So that's just in there really is indicative from the last report, but again, this subsequent report that Councillor Carley's requesting, if the motion's carried, would detail the options that Council has in that regard.
Okay. Can I seek one further point of clarification, if I may? It says audio equipment and recording equipment, so the meetings would be recorded?
Madam Mayor, Council has a commitment to providing the recording of meetings on its website following meetings. So officers have assumed that council's policy needs to be complied with, and therefore it's the recording itself is one issue, and then it's about amplification for the gallery is the second issue in relation to sound management.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Tory. Okay. The motion's been moved by Councillor Carley and seconded by Councillor Cugliari.
I just have some clarification.
Okay, sorry.
With the officer's comments where I know other costs including additional contract cleaning and security, why would there be additional contract cleaning? Isn't the Civic Centre and Library cleaned regularly in an evening anyway? Why would this be an extra cost just because there's a council meeting being held? And also, sorry if I may, sorry Mr. Hogan, before you answer, and also with the security, because I mean I see tonight we have some security guards, so really would there be an extra cost just for them to come down to Caroline Springs?
Through you, Madam Mayor, in terms of the additional contract cleaning, that's in anticipation potentially of additional debris or mess or clean up that's required as a result, particularly if we do set up tea and coffee as is traditional at most council meetings. So as the Chief Executive Officer has indicated, we're trying to anticipate, make some generalisations around what costs may be included. That does extend also to security, but it does sound reasonable to assume that the costs of security here would also be equivalent at an alternative venue.
Does any other councillor seek further clarification? We have a mover for the motion being Councillor Carley, seconded by Councillor Cugliari. All those in favour of the motion? I was going to say all those against.
Madam Mayor, can I call for a division?
Certainly can. All those in favour of the motion? Councillor Cugliari, Councillor Carley, Councillor Bentley, Councillor Turner. All those against? Councillor Ramsay. I declare the motion carried. Okay. 14.2, Notice of Motion 406, Councillor Ramsay. I rise to hereby give hereby notice of my intention to move the following motion at the ordinary meeting held today or tonight, that the Council, one, acknowledge the importance of federal funding through the Financial Assistance Grants Program for the continued delivery of Council services and infrastructure. Two, acknowledges that the Council will receive approximately $12.9 million in 2015-16, and 3 will ensure that the federal funding and other funding provided by the federal government under relevant grants program is appropriately identified as Commonwealth grant funding in council publications, including annual reports. Does any councillor seek further clarification? Is there a seconder for the motion?
I'd like to second that motion, Madam Mayor.
Okay, the motion before you has been moved by Councillor Turner, seconded by Councillor Turner. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? Motion's carried. Thank you. Councillors, questions without notice. Councillor Carley.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I just have one, Madam Mayor. As we will be holding our first council meeting in Caroline Springs next month in August, will there be any extra advertising, like perhaps on council's website? I know that it is there on council's meeting date, but just so some more residents and we get the word out there, will there be maybe some signs that are put near the library doors or something like that?
Yep. Through you, Madam Mayor, Councillor Carley, it is our intention to promote it at the conclusion of this meeting that the next meeting will be held at that facility. We will be putting relevant posters in, on regard to this facility as far as promoting that as well. We haven't necessarily thought it relevant to put it on the Caroline Springs Civic Centre facility necessarily to promote, but closer to the time we will. So I suppose we can pick up anyone who's randomly in that location or in that vicinity that they may have some interest in coming and the fact that it's close by.
Any other questions for that notice?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillor Turner proposed a motion that we write to a number of various state MPs with respect to... wrote to various state MPs with respect to the duplication and other various for seeking a timeline. Has that been completed, and if so, have we received a response?
We've completed it, because I know I've signed it.
Through Madam Mayor, yes, we have written to all relevant members of Parliament. We have received some acknowledgement letters in return. However, we haven't yet received a substantive response as to what action will be taken and when.
Any other clarification or any other questions without notice? Motions without notice. Actually, can I rise? And I'm going to do this off the top of my head, so please forgive me. Could I seek each councillor's availability to seeing what night of the week council meetings and briefings should be held or could be held, because it seems like Tuesday night sometimes may or may not suit anymore. So I'll leave it at that. But if I could get the availability of councillors and briefing nights, because I know now in about a month or two, if three, we're going to be reporting next year's council meetings, because we do it a year in advance.
Correct.
And I'd like to have that discussion and or that debate held a month or two out before.
Madam Mayor, we can pursue that through the office. So that would be the simplest.
Thank you. Urgent business. Neil? Confidential business.
Sorry, Madam Mayor, did we miss motions without notice?
No, I did a motion without notice. Did you want a motion without notice too?
Yes, I didn't follow up, sorry.
Okay, Councillor.
I'll let you off the hook. I'd like to move a motion that Council write to V-Line, ask them to review the timetable for the morning services from Melton. it seems we've been disadvantaged with the changes in the service, and I'd like to see if we can rectify that. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
To Melbourne.
To Melbourne.
Good morning,
from in the morning. Yeah.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Okay, before us, we're on to 18, confidential business procedural motion. Is there a councillor to move that?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the procedural motion that pursuant to Section 89(2) of the Local Government Act 1989, the meeting to be closed to the public to consider the following reports that are considered confidential for reasons indicated.
Thank you, Councillor Turner.
I'll second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Turner, seconded by Councillor Carley. Does anyone oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? Motion's carried. Thank you, members of the gallery, for coming out on such a cold, cold night. Drive home safely, or just wait out there for a couple of moments and we'll join you soon. Thank you.